With Montana News, I'm Jenny Gessman. Montana, on average, is looking pretty good for moisture this month, but the western part of the state is leaning slightly dry, while southeast Montana is on the moist side. That's the news from today's meeting of the Governor's Drought and Water Supply Advisory Committee. Kay Erickson with Yellowstone Public Radio News reports.
Committee staffer Mike Downey says last month there were drought concerns for northeast Montana, but rain across much of the state helped to turn things around.
We have had some good moisture in July that we really didn't see last year, and last year both July and August were really dry. Fortunately, the difference was this last year, as well as this year, we had cooler temperatures.
A map of drought conditions for the state's 56 counties shows most are reporting average to slightly above average moisture, while it's slightly dry in the west. And that's good news as we look into wildfire season.
We're in as good a shape as we've been for this time of year in quite some time. But as always, those conditions, as we've seen in the last few years, can change really fast.
Downey says for right now, the forecast is for above normal precipitation in the central and eastern part of the state, and the west can expect above normal temperatures. But he reminds us that if things remain hot and dry for any length of time, things can change drastically. But for now,
we can cross our fingers and hope that the trend continues.
For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Kay Erickson.
Hazardous contaminants flowing down from Canadian mines have prompted Kootenai River communities to seek stronger protections. The Flathead Beacon reports that leaders in Libby, Troy, and Eureka have written Governor Steve Bullock over water quality concerns. The letters note that local economies depend on rivers and lakes, but that those water bodies are being compromised by pollution from British Columbia coal mines. They and tribal leaders in Montana and Idaho want state and federal officials to fund better long-term water quality monitoring and to adopt a strict water quality standard for selenium. North Central and Southwest Montana are facing elevated fire danger this week, according to the National Weather Service. After a fairly cool, wet summer, the areas are beginning to see the dry, warm weather that could lead to fires. NWS forecasts say the areas will see stronger wind and possibly thunderstorms early this week, which could cause fires Wednesday and Thursday on the already dry lands. NWS meteorologist Scott Colston says the announcement is, quote, more of a heads up than a warning.
It's not an imminent danger, but it's just kind of a suggestion to be careful with things that can spark or can burn.
He says that includes securing chains on trailers that could spark if they drag, and being careful with bonfires. Colston says he does not expect the fire concern to last long. A judge says he won't block sheep grazing in a mountain range on the southwestern Idaho-Montana border, despite worries by wildlife advocates that federally protected grizzly bears could be harmed. In today's order, U.S. District Judge Dana Christensen said he was siding with federal officials, who concluded grazing sheep in the Centennial Mountains would not harm bears. He says wildlife advocates also failed to prove that livestock grazing makes bears more likely to chase or attack humans. The case involves the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Sheep Experiment Station near Du Bois, Idaho. Grazing was suspended in 2013 following previous lawsuits from environmental groups, but is scheduled to resume this summer after officials conduct a new environmental review. The Federal Indian Health Service has failed to meet its own standards for prescribing opioids. That's the takeaway from a federal audit released last week by the Inspector General of the U.S. Health and Human Services Department. Olivia Reingold reports.
The report urges IHS to adopt 12 recommendations, including tracking all opioid prescriptions patients filled, even at outside pharmacies, and analyzing prescribing data to minimize dosages that exceed federal guidelines. Charlie Hedress is the vice chairman for the Assiniboine and Sioux tribes. He says IHS clinics on the Fort Peck Reservation already follow agency requirements to use safeguards like informed consent contracts and drug monitoring databases. But he says drugs, including opioids, are still a problem.
I mean, people are walking around like zombies. I'm not going to sugarcoat it.
For 30 years, he worked as an administrator for the Indian Health Service, where he says opioid prescribing got out of hand starting in the 80s. But now,
they have, put the skids on a lot of the abuse.
None of Montana's 13 IHS facilities were referenced in the Inspector General's report. Anecdotally, Hedra says IHS's facilities near him have prescribed opioids more responsibly in recent years, but he's not sure it's cut down opioid abuse.
I don't think so, honestly, because they can get it elsewhere. a lot easier than they can get it from their own clinics.
The Indian Health Service did not respond to requests for comment. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Olivia Reingold.
Olivia Reingold is Yellowstone Public Radio's Report for America Corps member. Equifax will pay at least $700 million and potentially much more to settle lawsuits over a 2017 data breach of sensitive personal information for about half the U.S. population and about a third of Montanans. Montana Attorney General Tim Fox said in a press release that the settlement reached today with federal authorities and states was the largest data breach settlement in U.S. history. Based in Atlanta, Equifax is one of the country's three largest consumer credit reporting agencies. The 2017 breach exposed Social Security numbers, birth dates, addresses, driver's license numbers, credit card numbers, and, in some cases, data from passports. The settlement with federal authorities and states includes monetary relief to consumers, a civil penalty, and other offers to the people affected. More information about the settlement can be found at our website, mtpr.org. Airborne contaminants from a central billing Superfund site are prompting federal and state officials to plan a public briefing this week, according to a report from the Billings Gazette. Thursday's meeting will address vapors emanating from the site's contaminated soil, which can then become trapped in buildings and pose a health threat. Officials from the Environmental Protection Agency and the Montana Department of Environmental Quality will discuss options for eliminating the site's vapors and ground contaminants. With Montana Public Radio, I'm Jenny Gessman.